Welcome to the service of worship for Knox United Church Nepean for May 28th, 2023. We will be recording this live service for release as a podcast around 5 p.m. This is our first attempt at recording an outdoor service and our first use of our battery-powered outdoor sound system, which is not the same thing being used for recording. So what could possibly go wrong? I would invite you all here, and if you have anybody with you at home, turn to your neighbors. Welcome them to this service. So I have a couple of announcements in the newsletter that I would like to draw to your particular attention at this point. One of them concerns an update to our masking policy. Obviously, today we're outdoors, and that's one of the safest places to be for any kind of communicable diseases. But we are going to be changing our masking policy following the guidance of Ottawa Public Health. As of next Sunday, June the 4th, Knox is no longer requiring masking for any of our activities. Masking is optional. We do encourage those who wish to continue masking to please do so. Masking does add provided protection for the person wearing the mask and for others. We will continue to provide masks at the entrance to the sanctuary. So that's our change policy, effective next week. As of this week, we're outdoors, like I said. The one thing that we're not outdoors necessarily for is that Fellowship has prepared coffee and tea and so forth indoors. So that's available downstairs after the service, and you know how that works. You have to take your mask off to drink tea anyway. So that's for later today. But after the service, you're welcome to come in and share some refreshments. I would also draw to your attention a couple of things that are related to each other. The potluck on Wednesday was a great success. We had 37 people out. We had a lot of conversation as well as some great food, and we had a good time getting together and talking about the new statement of purpose for Knox. And the statement of purpose that we came up with at the end of it was to follow Jesus in generosity, justice, and inclusive, welcoming worship. So next Sunday, after the service, we're having a special congregational meeting, and we're going to have a vote on putting that in the Constitution in place of our older one. So please note that special congregational meeting, hopefully it won't take very long, after church next week. Next week is also Communion Sunday. So lots of things to mark on your calendar for next Sunday. I have one piece of good news to share particularly, and that is today is Marg Westerby's birthday. Marg isn't here this morning, but I'd like to announce that. Do any other people wish to make any other good news announcements? You better come up to the microphone, Sharon. I do know what you're going to say, but I'm still not going to say it.
Not only is it Marg's birthday today, but it is Andrew Jensen's birthday today. And I know how old he is because we're the same age. And next year is our milestone, Andrew. Next year.
Next year. Next year. Happy 40th next year. Yeah. That's right.
You're coming, is it?
Another piece of good news is that we now have the interpretive sign for the stone turtle has been erected and is there for inspection. I wanted to just briefly acknowledge the work of Frank Stoyles, who led the team that with Terry McComb that installed it with a little bit of interference from me. And we're very appreciative of Frank, who worked by himself yesterday to put it up because the rest of us weren't available at the right time. And I also wanted to acknowledge the guidance and the knowledge of Patricia Stanish and Margaret Coftree, who offered us some guidance, which the men more or less followed. So anyway, thanks to everybody who helped. We're hopeful that we'll be able to do a ceremony possibly in June.
I think Evelyn knows what's coming. Yesterday, Evelyn had an extremely busy day. The dance recital for her dance thing was yesterday. And wouldn't you know it, also her concert for her singing school. So we had to rush from one to the other, and we were busy all day with this. But the special surprise at the singing concert was that Jen and Evelyn got up and sang a beautiful solo from Carrie the Musical. And they did a very good job, because at the end of it, Jen was in tears, and so was I, and so were a whole lot of other people in the audience.
And there's video, okay.
So anyway, we were gone all day with all of this, and Evie did a beautiful job on everything. And so did Jennifer.
And then my dad took us to dinner, which was pretty good news for us.
Thank you. That is good news.
And the other good news, we're having choir and pub night this Thursday. And any...
Wednesday.
Thank you. I kept putting that in italics to make sure I remind myself, I guess. Anyway, it is Wednesday because band is on Thursday. It's not too late to join the band. So anyone who has sung, okay, if you want to sing next Sunday with the choir, we've got something, a nice little round we're going to be singing. So you come on Wednesday at 7:30 to the church. And even if you aren't going to sing next Sunday, anyone who has sung in the choir in the last 5 years is welcome to join us at the pub. So we're meeting a different place. We're meeting at the Royal Oak in Center Point because it has a patio and it looks like good patio weather. So, yeah. So the choir part is 7:30 at the church. The pub part is 8:30 on Wednesday at the Royal Oak in Center Point.
Thank you. Any other announcements that need to be added at this time? Well, if you have announcements that you want to share or good news or prayer requests, contact the church office at 613-829-2266 or by email, office@knoxnepean.ca. They can be put in the weekly newsletter, which the folks here have gotten handed out to them, and everybody can get on email on Fridays. These are all of the announcements that I have, and it seems anybody else too. So let us prepare ourselves for worship. Our call to worship is responsive, and it's printed in the order of service. And it doesn't say to stand, but what the heck? Let's have you stand up. May God open our eyes to the beauty of color and shape. Lift our noses to the scents of flower and fruit. God planted the first garden
and calls us to share in the joy of this ongoing work of creation.
Our opening hymn is 224 in Voices United, and it's printed in the order of service. Sing a happy hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Our opening prayer is a unison prayer, and it is also printed in the order of service. Let us pray. God of grace, in the story of creation, you made the earth a garden and entrusted it to us to till and to keep, a place of peace and beauty where we could walk with you. In the story of redemption, the one who died for us was buried in a garden, and there you raised him up to greet us with new hope and risen life. In the story of the church, you tend us as a garden, a place of careful pruning and abundant harvest, where we can work with you. Meet us, we pray, in all the gardens where we go for nourishment, refreshment, and prayer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we have children's time, so come on down. There we go. How are you guys doing?
Good,
good. I'm glad to hear that. So, today is a special day, and I think you know some of it. Can you tell me what the special day is? Yeah?
We're going to go biking.
Going to go biking. So, that's later, but it's connected because we are blessing bicycles first, aren't we?
Yep.
Yep. Are we blessing anything else? What's right behind me?
The garden.
The gardens. We're blessing gardens as well. And you know what? It's another day as well. Do you see anything different about the way I'm dressed today?
You're wearing red, and you don't usually wear red.
I'm wearing red, and I don't usually wear red. That is precisely correct. That is right. Red is one of those colors that doesn't actually happen very often in the church year. And do you know what red represents? What can red stand for?
Red could stand for, lots of things.
Lots of things, yeah. Just a second. Yeah. You've been saying a lot, so I'm just seeing if Charlotte, do you have an idea what red could be? What's red? Lots of things are red, aren't they?
Yep.
Okay, Ilias, back to you. Are you going to say something?
Wine.
Wine is red. That's true. We'll chat later. Apples, yes.
And also fire and stuff.
Fire and stuff. You got to it.
Fire and also fire trucks.
Fire trucks, too. And strawberries. I used to live in Quebec, and most of the fire trucks in Quebec are bright yellow. And in Arnprior, where they build fire trucks, they're white. Surprise! So a lot of fire trucks are red, but some are different colors. Now, on this red stole that I'm wearing, the red does stand for fire. And what else do you see in the pictures? What does that look like?
The firebird.
The firebird. Actually, the firebird comes from a whole different set of ideas. You're thinking about the phoenix. This isn't the phoenix in this case. This is a different bird. What bird do we read about a lot in the Bible?
A dove.
A dove, exactly. This is the dove, and it's flying which way?
Down into God's hands.
No, they're not down into God's hands. They're down into our hands.
What?
Our hands. That's right. Because the dove represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes from God to us. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about fire sometimes, because the Holy Spirit can be hot and burning and going unexpected places. Or the Holy Spirit can be like a dove settling gently on Jesus at his baptism. Or the Holy Spirit, what do you feel around you right now?
Air.
Air? But what's the air doing?
Keeping light.
It's blowing. It's the wind. The Holy Spirit is like the wind. It's like our breath. That's what spirit means. Spirit means breath. And so God's Spirit comes to us from God, which is what this picture means. And God's Spirit gives us breath and life, gives us energy like fire, is gentle like a dove. God's Spirit does so many things, and God's Spirit brings life to the whole world, including the gardens. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool?
And also, it's kind of hard to explain if it's a dove because, if it's red, and it also has a little bit of orange and yellow.
There's a bit of orange and yellow, and some of them have little... You know what? That's called artistic license. That's the artist doing stuff that isn't exactly like a photograph.
Which that's kind of...
Yeah. But that's just, you'll learn more about art as you get older, and you see lots of artists do that. We actually talked about that, and we talked about Jesus' art, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So same thing happens with doves. Very good. So this is a special day for a couple of reasons. Isn't that cool? Okay. So we're going to have a prayer now. Are you ready? Fold your hands. Dear God, thank you for air. The way the wind blows, it reminds us of your spirit. And it gives life to plants, to animals, to everything. We thank you for fire. It reminds us of energy, which reminds us of your spirit. We thank you for the dove, which reminds us that you're gentle, and we should be gentle too. Thank you for this gift. Amen. So, now, you guys have a choice. You can go down to Sunday school, or you can stay up for the bike blessing and garden blessing, or I don't know how the teachers would know when to bring you back up. So you have a choice of going down or staying up.
I'm staying right here.
Oh, okay. You can stay right there, or you can stay back at your chair, whichever. Okay. Very good. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 92. It's 810 in Voices United for those of you brave enough to bring your hymn books out, but it is printed in the order of service. Allison will play through the refrain once, and then we will repeat it, singing it as a rehearsal before we start the psalm.
And to thank you, O Most High.
It is good to give you thanks, O God, to sing praises to your name, O Most High.
To tell your love in the morning and your faithfulness during the night.
With a 10-stringed lute and harp, with voice and lyre together.
And to thank you, O Most High.
The just shall flourish like the date palm and increase like the cedars of Lebanon.
Planted in God's house, they will flourish in the courts of our God.
In old age, they still produce fruit, thriving and full of vigor.
May we show that God is just, God our rock, in whom there is no wrong.
To sing your praises and to thank you, O Most High.
Our first reading is from Genesis 1, 28 to 31, New Revised Standard Version, Updated Edition. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God.
Thank you. like a flame in the darkness. Come, Spirit, come. Shine over my soul. Spirit of
Our second lesson is from Genesis chapter 3, reading verses 17 to 19, New Revised Standard Version, updated edition once again. The passage that you heard previously was the end of the first version of creation, and that didn't name names or anything like that. The second version starts at the beginning of chapter 2 and is what talks about Adam and Eve and so forth. And so this chapter comes, well, just after they've gotten into trouble. And to the man God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Here ends the second lesson. Thanks be to God for these readings of the Word, and to God's name be praise and glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. The story of the Garden of Eden is very, very familiar, probably familiar enough that nobody's read it in years. But our modern understanding of the age of the earth and the evolution of species has led us as a society and even as a church sometimes to turn it into kind of a children's story, something that adults mostly ignore or maybe consider cute or harmless. But there are many rich images that have influenced us out of that in ways that we don't think about, in ways we take for granted, sometimes not always good ones. Now, the whole idea behind it is in the second story, starting in chapter 2 of Genesis, that Eden was God's garden, a place where God could walk and enjoy the cool shade and the wonderful scents and the tastes of nature. Humans were created more or less as company, co-workers, innocent creatures without knowledge of good and evil, but given some tasks. They were given the job of naming everything and acting as gardeners, tending Eden and caring for it. Eden was set up as a vegetarian paradise. Every creature was given plants for food. Bloodshed of any sort was not expected. You kind of get the image that's like that song from Porgy and Bess. Summertime and the living is easy. You get perpetual good weather. To eat, you go and pluck something off the tree and munch on it. And the heavy lifting, the hard work of creating the garden, planting all that stuff, God had already done it. The people had the job of tending from that point on. And so our second reading, the contrast when the humans are being thrown out of the garden, it's really striking because they're cast into the wilderness where they have to fend for themselves. They have to put clothes on, partly for modesty, because they now know what modesty is, but also partly because of the thorns, because of the heavy labor that's needed to convert the barren wilderness into something resembling another garden. And ideally what they're shooting for there is like a farm, a place of beauty, a place of refuge, where you're safe from those predators that used to just eat grass, but now are suddenly very hungry and have very sharp teeth. But still requires a ton of work, labor, till you die. It's remarkable to me that this image of paradise was embraced by the Hebrew people. Because for a lot of their history, they were not a settled people at all. Their self-identifying phrase begins with saying, "A wandering Aramean was my father." And if you read through Genesis, you see the truth of this. Until the time of their slavery in Egypt, the Hebrew people were nomadic. Their vision of paradise was to stop wandering, to be in a settled land with plowed fields, neatly planted orchards, sheep and goats, yes. But hopefully you didn't have to stray too far from home to find good grazing and enough water for the animals. They wanted to be settlers. They wanted to tame the land. And at the exodus from Egypt and the invasion of Canaan, they got their wish. Actually, they conquered an already settled land, and they were told in Scripture to acknowledge in their worship that the first harvest that they collected was the result of the work of Canaanite hands. Like Eden, they were walking into a garden that somebody else had planted. And even if it wasn't God's personal hands that had done it, they still considered it to be a gift from God. When they lived as nomads, the Hebrews were people on the margins of the world. Their experience of the wilderness was tough because, you know, that's where they were driven, away from the more settled lands. And finding water in the wilderness is really hard. To find good plants for your animals to eat, it takes a lot of wandering from place to place. If it was easy to live off that land, somebody would have settled it already. And then, having settled it, they would defend it against these wandering shepherds. This is not unique to the Bible. This is an ancient story. It goes well past, you know, the ranchers in the Wild West who are mad at the farmers for putting up fences. It goes well past the European invasion of North America and the settling of some of the nomadic lands of this territory. And frankly, the taking by force of already planted and settled lands. You know, we had farms there that Europeans could recognize quite easily. The Wendat that we call the Huron were known for their farming settlements all around the Great Lakes. You notice that they all now live in eastern Quebec. There's versions of this kind of displacement all through history on every continent except Antarctica. It continues to this day as the nomadic Maasai cattle herders in Africa come into increasing conflict with the farmers. The farmers have settled some of their former grazing area because they want to produce more food for the international markets and for their own families. And the Maasai need to find better grazing and watering lands as global warming messes up all of the water flow patterns and the grass growing that used to happen and doesn't anymore. And so it strikes me as important when we stop and we recognize the overarching thing that's going on here, that we identify the biases that we've cooked into our own stories and the assumptions that we still make as people today. We are starting now to realize just how important wilderness areas really are. They need to be preserved for a whole pile of reasons, just in order to keep our planet healthy. There's a story I heard in the 70s, and I was on early 80s, choir tour out west from Knox College. We were visiting a place in the interior of British Columbia, and the person telling this story was the son of the person who said it happened to him. Anyway, the person this happened to was a child. He was a farmer. He was a child when his parents first settled that particular farm. And a visitor from the city was there and was waxing rhapsodic over the lush fields and the delicious fruit that were growing in the orchards. And that person said, "Isn't it wonderful what nature can do?" To which the farmer replied, "You should have seen it when nature was running it alone." The equation there is farm good, wilderness bad. And that's a very old equation for us. And it's a bias that has its roots partly, at least, in Scripture. And before that, in our struggles to survive when we were wandering around trying to find something to eat. Now, that was a long time ago. And we have new struggles now as human beings. We're no longer just some kind of clever ape learning that if we try to cultivate something and stick around, we might have a reliable food supply. We are now the dominant species on the planet. And it seems like we are determined to develop every green space that we can find. Humans still very much need to experience the touch and the smell of soil. We need to have a personal understanding of how things grow, of the rhythm of the seasons, what it means when a food is in season or not. We need to understand that a lot of bugs aren't just for swatting or worse, poisoning. They're pollinators. They're good. And we need to learn that certain plants can be planted close to other plants because they help each other in ways that we can't see with our eyes, but we've discovered and learned about. Gardens are our bridge from the cities that we have built back to Eden, that wonderful image of a beautiful place where divinity and humanity can walk together and enjoy the beauty of living, growing things, where people can be active participants in God's ongoing project of creation, giving new life to a world that, frankly, right now is gone badly out of balance, a world that has a hard time valuing any kind of life if it isn't profitable or convenient. We're here today to bless our gardens and to bless our bicycles as well. Bikes that are able to carry us to places of growth and life without burning fossil fuels and choking things that need air to survive. We are here to bless these things, but we should also recognize them for what they are, and that is that they are themselves blessings by their very nature. Our involvement with gardens and with bicycles and similar, they bless us. They bring us closer to God's original world. So let us consider the blessings that we have and also those that are there in the wilderness that perhaps we shouldn't think about them as things we have because they're bigger than us. They're beyond us. The wilderness is not just a place of thorns and hard scrabble soil the way it's described in our second Genesis reading. Something that needs to be conquered and settled. Wilderness is a wonderful place. You know, drawing from recent events, the wilderness is a place where a bear can wander without being shot by the police, and hopefully without being run down by over-enthusiastic off-road bicyclists. The wilderness is a place where biodiversity can thrive, endangered species can be preserved. The wealth of God's creation can be unsquandered and preserved. The uncultivated, unsettled parts of God's garden can exist with all of their wonder and complexity and without too much human interference. This earth is really still a kind of Eden. It's still a paradise that feeds and sustains us. Just ask anybody who talks about colonizing Mars or any other planet about how much we have going for us here that we just take for granted. And, you know, the things that we can do to exist on this planet with as gentle a footprint as possible, like traveling with as little harm and pollution as possible at a speed that allows us to experience the world and not just see it go by in a blur, or participating in the work of creation itself through planting, tending, and harvesting gardens without poisons and in cooperation with natural pollinators. These things that reduce our footprint are things that also bring us into closer contact with the hand of God. God who made this earth, this Eden, and declared it to be very good. God who wants us to love this place and to share the joy that God experiences walking in the garden. Amen. Our next hymn is originally from More Voices 174, and it's printed in the order of service. Soil of God, You and I. I would invite you to stand once again. Your offering will be received, and Christo's going to need some help. Do you suppose, Elise, you'd like to help? There we go. Good stuff. So I suggest you start from opposite ends or something and work your way through the crowd. Thank you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving God, in your bounty and generosity, you have given us so much. The air that we breathe is wonderful. The sun that shines on us and the shade that cools us, the trees around us and the gardens that we plant and enjoy. There are so many ways that you've blessed us. Those are blessings that help us physically, but they also help us spiritually because you have made us a part of this world. We need all that surrounds us and we need each other in order to be fully human. Receive these offerings that we bring to you now. They are a sign of the way that we wish to return to you all that is good, to be shared, to help others, to make this a better world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join our hearts in the prayers of thanksgiving and intercession and in the sharing of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, so often we worship indoors and we love the place. We're surrounded by beauty there and it feels safe and secure. But when we gather outside, we're reminded of your living touch, of the breath of your spirit, of the play of the sun that you've created to shine on us and give us energy and life that causes plants to grow. There's so much we lose touch with in our lives, so much that is good that you have made for us, that you have made for yourself and allow us to enjoy with you. Be with us, we pray, as we go forward in life, remembering that we are part of this world, not apart from it, and that you invite us every day to share in your creation, sharing your goodness, enjoying the beauty that you have made, loving the works of your hand, loving each other. Guide us and lead us in this every day so that we may grow more fully in our hearts and be touched by your Spirit every day. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together in these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Knox has had gardens for many years, and people have benefited from the beauty of the flowers surrounding the church and from the rhubarb that Knox plants under my window. That's been shared with the community for a very long time. In 2016, Knox opened the community garden as a way to use our land well, to encourage the local growth of fresh and nutritious food, to provide an opportunity for people to find a new spiritual connection with God's creation by rolling up their sleeves and getting their hands dirty. Early in the COVID pandemic, our Knox gardeners helped Ottawa health officials recognize the value of community gardens, and officials allowed the gardens to reopen safely. Over this same time, many people rediscovered the value of gardening in their homes, maybe on their balconies or in their backyards, wherever they could grow a few seeds. This year, our service is happening in our community garden and on our podcast, and we hope to include all our gardens in recognition of the value we receive from all these places where we can connect with God's good world. I invite the folks at home listening on the podcast, if you can, to pause the podcast while you take your device to your garden. As I begin the words of the litany, those at home, I invite you to do what I am doing here, to take some soil in your hand and let it trickle back into your garden. The Bible reminds us that we have come from the earth and we will return to the earth. God has made us a part of this creation, not above it, not apart from it, but linked to this earth in the core of our being. We have placed this community garden on land which is in our care. May this garden continue to represent the way Knox has always shared this space with community. Let us pray together in the unison prayer. There is no plant on the ground that does not tell of your beauty, Lord. May this garden and all the gardens we tend speak to us of the fragrance of your love. May the fruits of the earth speak to us of your mercy. Bless the moon that is above us, the earth that is beneath us, the hard work to be done here, the seedlings that shall grow here, the neighbors we shall greet here, and all who overlook here. Amen. So we come now to the bicycle blessing portion, and I would invite all those who brought their bikes to get them, bring them forward, and gather here in front of the congregation. I would also invite those who left their bikes at home but wish to have this included in what is done to come forward themselves and gather at the front and bring your order of service. Very good. So I would invite you to turn to the order of service. You'll find there the responsive prayer that serves as our bicycle blessing. Let us pray. God of life, in a world groaning under the excesses of consumption, we acknowledge the inherent goodness of pollution-free, human-powered transportation and give thanks for the simple beauty of the bicycle. God of peace, in a community filled with strife, we pray for the victims of road rage and bike theft, and we ask for the strength to forgive mean people. God of grace, in a community of beautiful diversity, we ask your protection and blessing on all who ride. Daily commuters, weekend warriors, athletes, homeless folk, students, children, and all the others who take to the streets, bike paths, parks, and mountains. Keep us safe as we ride. Amen. And so, now I would invite you to don't just abandon your bikes. You know what that does. Perhaps put your bikes to one side as we come to our last hymn, number 227 in Voices United, printed in the order of service, For the Fruit of All Creation.
Despairing in the harvest, we are sure.
truths that still confound us. Most of all, that love has found us. Thanks be to God.
Go now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you this day and forevermore.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Halle, 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 hallelujah. Halle, 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 hallelujah. Halle, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just have to say, that takes me back to my very first charge, three country churches. And in the littlest one, Center Road, they would occasionally have music nights where they'd just sit down and have a potluck and sing. And one of the things they sang was Daisy, Daisy. Trick is, the men all sang the first verse, which I knew well, and the women all sang the second verse, which I'd never heard before, but ended with the words, "And I'll be switched before I'm hitched on a bicycle built for two." Sounds like some others have heard that one.